Recording in progress.
We'll call the City Council meeting in order for May 14, 2024, and we will start with the Pledge of Allegiance. Mr. Plocher?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. I think you're the senior alderman in Ward 2, aren't you?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, okay. Next, we have the roll call. There's so much stuff here, I gotta figure out where I'm at.
Koch.
Here.
Transier.
Here.
Plocher.
Here.
Soling.
Here.
Funkhauser.
Here.
Merrick.
Here.
Terulis.
Here.
Cornels.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Welcome, everyone. Thank you for attending. We got a full house tonight. That's fantastic. We actually have quite a few people out here, which is fantastic, too. We see we even have a few people from the Newark area out here today. Go Norsemen, right? Okay. I have one amendment to the agenda. What item are we pulling here?
I think it's EDC 1.
EDC 1. Where the heck is EDC 1?
Westbury.
Yeah, Westbury. Yeah, we're going to pull that. Are we actually going to table it?
The motion is to table.
Okay, so we're not actually going to pull it. We're going to table it when we get there. We're just not quite ready. So I'm told we're actually going to table it. So ignore my pulling the item from the agenda. We're just going to table it. Okay, presentations. We don't have any presentations today, do we? No presentations? Public hearings. My God, we've got a plethora of those. First, I would like to open up the public hearing for Kalaka, did I pronounce that properly?
Yes.
LLC, for an annexation. So the public hearing is now open. Is there anyone who would like to speak to the Kalaka LLC annexation public hearing? Seeing none, I will close the public hearing for the Kalaka LLC. Next, we pronounce it, is it Hageman? I am opening up the public hearing for the Hageman annexation. The public hearing is now open. Is there anyone who would like to speak to the Hageman annexation public hearing? Any comments? Seeing, hearing none, we will close that. Finally, we are in the Blackberry Oaks annexation public hearing. Is there anyone who would like to speak? Oh, I've opened it. Make it clear, I've opened it. Is there anyone like to speak for the Blackberry Oaks public hearing regarding the annexation?
Mr. Chair, I would, this is Scott Pointner, P-O-I-N-T-N-E-R from Rathje and Woodward LLC. I have no presentation, but I'm here to answer any questions on behalf of Blackberry Oaks Golf Course.
Any questions? Scott, thank you. We're going to disappoint you. No questions. I will now close the public hearing for the Blackberry Oaks annexation. Thank you for all of those who attended for our three public hearings. Appreciate your input. Thank you, Scott. Look forward to talking to you again. And Dan, you too. Okay, next, we have citizen comments on agenda items. Would anyone like to speak for anything on the agenda?
Good evening.
Please state your name.
Molly, I wish you could be here to read this tonight, but I'm going to have to fill in.
And you're Mike, right?
Mike, yes.
Mike Kremsky.
So I'd like to speak about the liquor license potential for the water parks that's on the agenda. And I'm not going to say anything tonight. What I'm going to do is read some comments from social media and maybe a few commentaries in there for myself. So I'd like to start with a disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed in this comment are those of speakers on social media and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of any entities they represent. Scott said, I anticipate an increase in 911 call volume. Kerry said, they can't even go a day during operation without the police being called for unruly guests. Would hate to see what it's like when alcohol is added to that mix. May get a chance to. Johnny said, literally throwing gas on a fire. James said, coincidence? Only days after Raging Waves was purchased by Bowlero, the world's largest operator of bowling centers in the world. Glenda said, fuel on a fire. Alicia said, how stupid are people? Police and rescue are there constantly. Yeah, let's liquor them up. Great idea. Dumpster fire, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. Quinn said, sounds like a few of you need to go to the meeting and voice your opinions. This would get a green light without discussion. Maybe someone else is here to comment. Frank said, sounds like a terrible idea. Why? Jimmy said, the dumbest idea ever. Christopher said, well, there it is. The stupidest effing thing I've heard all day. Johnny said, that water park has already gotten ridiculous expensive. Bowlero will absolutely ruin that park with their high margins BS. They ruined bowling, now they will ruin the best water park in Illinois. Cindy said, what could go wrong? Crowds, swimming, lots of stairs, and concrete and hot weather. Rob said, all those Wisconsin Dells water parks seem to be doing just fine selling alcohol beverages. Maybe. Christopher said, that dump can't even control the criminal kids that come there. What makes them think this is a good idea? Tear that place down already. Madonna said, not a good idea at all. The police are said there are enough issues and then add alcohol. It's about the money again. Probably. Abby said, I mean, hell, alcohol from 10 to 6? They don't even sell ice cream till noon. Then she makes this emoji with the tongue sticking out and the monkey with his covering up his eyes. Definitely rethink that season pass. Tanya said, because there aren't enough calls there already. Julie said, people can't do anything without alcohol. Then the sad emoji face. Beth said, drunk people on water and lots of stairs? What could go wrong? Carla said, are the teen employees expected to keep the peace and enforce the rules? It's a recipe for disaster. I concur, Carla. Valerie said, oh, hell no. There's been enough problems with that park, and it is right now not only crazy, but stupid as well. That's just asking for more trouble. Lynn said, doesn't seem like a great combination. No, it doesn't, Lynn. Lisa said, I normally wouldn't care, but the water park seems to already have a lot of issues without adding alcohol to the mix. Janelle said, nope, alcohol with wave pool? Seriously? With the rolling eyes emoji. Oh, they're serious, Janelle. Matt said, bad idea. Yes, yes it is, Matt. Jennifer said, majority of the staff are teenagers, so that they have to police the drinking adults? Kim said, not a good idea. Kristen said, terrible idea. They need to just say no. I think I've heard that slogan before. Oh yeah, thanks Nancy. Carla said, that is the last thing we need there. Fact, Carla. Diane said, more of an opportunity for stupid people to do stupid things. I always felt that alcohol and water don't mix. That's probably some logical thinking, Diane. Jason said, millions of people go to the Wisconsin Dells every year, drink and have great time, with very little issues and the water park capital of the world. My family every year is included in this. Nothing wrong with a few drinks and a lazy river. It's all about responsible people acting like adults. Hashtag swim up bar. Angie said, Jason, you are correct. It's about responsible adults. However, have you seen the amount of calls during the summertime for fights at Raging Waves without alcohol? It will be worse with alcohol involved. I can see that. Julie said, that's a lawsuit waiting to happen. I'm not against booze, but in a large family environment, thinking not a good idea. Edwina said, this will be a horrible mistake. Kathy said, just wait, they need, two emojis slapping in the face. They have problems without it. Courtney said, oh Lord, please no. Tracy said, Raging Waves needs to have their own security. They cause too much work for the Yorkville PD. Jennifer said, seriously, swimming, water, alcohol, and children don't mix. It sounds like a super dangerous idea. Thanks, Jennifer. Megan said, wow, I really hope they don't approve this. It just seems so unsafe to mix alcohol and huge water slides. stupid people want to injure themselves, I don't care. But I'm worried about children getting hurt in the process. Don't mess with our kids. Helen said, they have got to be kidding. No, no, they're not. Rebecca said, don't do it. Loretta said, we should show up and voice our concerns. Maybe she's here tonight. Lou said, bad idea. Nice, straightforward, to the point, Lou. Lori said, dumb idea. Ditto. Patricia said, no alcohol. This is a place for kids and families. I say they raise the prices for people who live outside of town if they want to make more money. That's an option. Elise said, it being a family establishment is whatever. No different than alcohol being sold at the movie theaters, arcades, zoos, restaurants, etc. But yeah, alcohol in water park, that'll be a whole new world of calls. Gina said, no alcohol, please. And 5+ calls a week, not enough. Mary Lou said, Gina, a week per day? I mean, what could possibly go wrong? Rolling eyes emoji. Jennifer said, in what world is this a good idea? I think we actually know the answer to that. Alicia said, if this happens, then the water park also needs to hire their own police and ambulance so they don't cause any issues or delays for the community, as I'm sure will be a need for an ambulance multiple times a day. Dina said, maybe there will be less calls because parents actually stay and watch their kids instead of dropping them off with zero supervision. Probably not, Dina. I know this sounds like the people have some reservations about having alcohol at the water park. Maybe, just maybe, we actually need to have an open discussion about the topic before voting on it tonight. Thank you.
Is there anyone else in the public who'd like to speak? Okay. We will move on to the consent agenda. We have a whopping one item. Well, actually two items. We have the minutes from April 23rd and bills totaling $1,399,130.29. Is there a motion and a second?
So moved.
Seaver? Merrick, did I see you?
Second.
I thought I did. Okay.
Point, Seaver.
Roll call, please.
Coke?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Terulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Cornels?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you all. Okay, next we have the mayor's report. And we do have an item that wasn't on the mayor's report. And I thank Alderman Funkhauser for bringing this to my attention. Today, May 14th, is the 62nd anniversary of the proclamation by President John F. Kennedy for Police Week and Peace Officers Memorial Day. So he did that in 1962. So I'm going to try to take this and get it to a Yorkville level because he was the president and I am not, obviously. Whereas our law enforcement agencies play an essential role in safeguarding the rights and freedoms which have been guaranteed by the Constitution to every American citizen, whereas it is important that people throughout our country know and understand the problems, duties, and responsibilities of their police departments, and that members of our law enforcement agencies recognize their duty to serve people by safeguarding life and property, by protecting them against violence or disorder, and by protecting the innocent against deception and the weak against oppression and intimidation. Whereas the nation's police departments have grown to be modern and scientific law enforcement bodies which unceasingly provide a vital public service. Whereas Congress, by a joint resolution approved June 21st, 1961, designated the week of May 13th, 1962, so similar days this year, as Police Week in recognition of the contribution police officers have made to our civilization through their dedicated and selfless efforts. Whereas that resolution requests the president or the mayor to issue, and it even says it, the president or mayor, to issue a proclamation inviting the people of the United City of Yorkville to observe such period with appropriate ceremonies and activities. I, John Purcell, mayor of the United City of Yorkville, do hereby call upon the people of the United States and the United City of Yorkville and upon all patriotic, civic, and educational organizations to observe the week of May 13th through 19th, 2024 as Police Week with appropriate ceremonies. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Funkhauser. I appreciate it. Okay. And Tim, you're going to give us some good updates under the Park Board report, correct?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
We have some cool things going on. Really cool things. Not everyone will like them, but I know we will. We have item number one under the mayor's report. Oh, wow. I'm looking for a motion and a second, and then Bart will go into the discussion on this. So, I'm looking for a motion for a resolution authorizing the execution of an intergovernmental agreement providing for the sharing of costs and funding for the construction of facilities to transport Lake Michigan water to the village of Oswego, Kendall and Will Counties, Illinois, the United City of Yorkville, Kendall County, Illinois, and the village of Montgomery, Kane and Kendall Counties, Illinois.
So move.
Second.
Cornelius Funkhauser. And did you note in there, we are the only one of three in one county? That's why we're the county seat. Just saying that. Okay, Bart, take it over.
This is our overall cost share agreement for the entire Lake Michigan supply project from phase two engineering, which is what it currently is in, through construction and commissioning. So, you know, first we just wanted to note that the cost estimates for this phase of the project have been updated. It's itemized on page two of the memo. I just wanted to hit the high points. You know, what had been previously a few years ago estimated at about $162 million for the transmission main and related equipment from DuPage to us is now about $258 million. And that is increased due to just construction cost inflation, obviously, being much higher recently than we previously observed. So that's about $40 million. The engineering costs have increased in the same vein, but also we've added some scope to just the things that have to occur in order to deliver water to us. So that's about $11 million. And then there were things that weren't estimated. So we've got some environmental analyses that are going to be required, and then commissioning, which is the actual turn on of the water after it's constructed, and testing it to make sure that it, you know, merges well with our existing water system. And then also previously we had not estimated any property acquisition. We knew that was just a plug number. It was going to depend on, quite frankly, the route, which we think that is somewhat, you know, preliminarily identified. And then future inflation. So that was something where in the past we had just talked about costs being certain from whenever we were going to construct it. Now we have a general idea that we're going to bid it out at some point in 2025 and then construct it over 25, 26, and 27, and so that we can reasonably estimate construction inflation there at about $20 million. So that's the reason for the cost increases. And Brad and Eric and I and probably Rob are happy to kind of answer questions if we have about that. But then the ultimate reason for this ordinance is the actual cost split, which is itemized as exhibit, I believe it's two on the ordinance, which is PDF page 229. And it sets the Yorkville position for the cost share on the project at 40.22%, Montgomery at 24.42%, and Oswego at 35.36%. We had multiple conversations with the mayors, managers, other staff members involved over the course of several months, identifying probably 9 or 10 different permutations of cost share methodology. And ultimately what we decided was there are multiple ways that you could legitimately do this and have everybody come to an agreement. But you have three entities that may or may not think that certain cost share methodologies are better than others. And so we definitely had to come up with a hybrid approach. So what we ended with was a percentage of the cost share is based on our total use of the system. So Yorkville is somewhere in the middle of the other two towns, using about 35% of the max day demand is what we're forecasting. And then distance. So Yorkville is the farthest away. We have the most amount of pipes in order to reach our system. And so we felt that it was fair that Yorkville paid a higher percentage if you were to just look at distance. So we kind of averaged those two together. We came up with the numbers that were there. Both Oswego and Montgomery have already approved this. Montgomery last night, Oswego the week before, so we are the last one in line. Both boards did approve the resolution unanimously. So with that, again, this is going to set the cost share percentage for the existing engineering phase and then the construction phase that we're about to embark on here in the next several months. Happy to take any questions anybody has.
Mr. Koch?
Is this going to be locked now then, or could it still increase?
Well, the price of the project absolutely can increase. These are not negotiated dollar amounts. These are engineers' estimates of what we expect the bidding climate to be as we continue to go forward. So, as with any large project, cost overruns or scope changes or delays can obviously increase costs, but we have a very large project that they've broken into what they think is going to be four smaller projects to kind of drive up the number of contractors that can bid on pieces of it in an attempt to obviously keep the cost down.
Other questions or comments? Roll call, please.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Terulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Cornels?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you all. Appreciate it very much. Next, item two. Ordinance amending Title 3, Chapter 3 of the Code of Ordinances creating a new liquor license class and fee in parentheses water parks. I'm looking for a motion and a second.
So motion.
Transier, is there a second?
Second.
Merrick? Questions, comments?
Say, I'm not a big fan of this. Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of what Mike was saying, some of the comments, some of the incidents there. Something like that for me is family oriented thing. It's not a bar, it's not an appropriate place for that. I was a long time member of the zoo, and the zoo started selling alcohol. It's been nothing but issues since. I kind of perceive kind of the same problems. So I don't know how anybody else feels, but I'm not sure.
Other questions, comments? We do have Dawn and Randy Witt here, and Hugh, I forget your last name.
Eichelberger.
So they're the new part of the new management ownership organization. And I've asked them to come just to explain a little bit of what they do and how they do it. They've got, 15 other parks? Could you step to the microphone, please, and just explain? Because we had some conversations. I understand the concerns raised. We've had some conversations in... They say this is something they do in, I think, maybe all your parks, different parks around the country, around the world. So just give us a little background to how you got involved, and Dawn and Randy Witt are here as well, and just so everyone knows, they're still going to be involved with this operation for this year as key personnel, just like any other year.
I'm Hugh Eichelberger. I'm the Chief Operating Officer of Premier Parks. We're the largest operator of independently owned and operated water parks in the country. I have been involved with more water parks, I believe, than our company has, than any other company in the world. We understand water parks very well. We've built more than 10, some in this state. We have businesses that are theme parks, water parks, museums, so we do a little bit of everything. We sell alcohol in all those facilities, as do most, better than 90% anyway, of all major water parks in the country. Raging Waves is a very major water park. I was stunned when I pulled up for the first time to see this park, how nice it was in this market when we started looking at it. When you're trying to create a resort kind of environment, which is what I would call a water park. A water park's not like an amusement park. It's certainly not like a bar. A water park is a place for people to go as a family, relax, enjoy the attractions, and have a good time. And to some people, that includes, whether it's dad or mom or whoever, having a beer or having a drink while they're there, that's part of it. It's more, I was speaking to Randy and Dawn about it, and I said something yesterday to them that kind of hit them. I said, this is not like the neighborhood theme park that I won't mention the name of it. A water park is more like a Four Seasons, more like a resort experience. So when you're taking your family to a water park, you want to relax, you want to have fun, you want to watch the kids have a good time. And the fact that you happen to sell alcohol does not counteract that at all. Not to mention at every one of our water parks, one drink, one ID at a time, period. If you come up there to get two drinks and one happens to be for your wife, and or husband, whoever the case may be, and they're not standing there with you with an ID, they're not going to get it. So we're like super strict on all our policies as it relates to alcohol at all of our parks. And we also don't price alcohol like bars price alcohol. Bars typically price alcohol to get you to come in the door and drink. Well, that's not our objective. Our objective is to provide good, wholesome family fun in the water park and happen to have a bar if somebody wants to get a drink. Group sales. The ability to sell a major company to come to Yorkville and have their event at Raging Waves a lot of times stems on the fact that, can the guys get a drink? Can they get a beer? Can we have beer with our catered meal? Right now, Raging Waves does almost no catered business at all. So that's one of the opportunities we saw for the park, to bring more businesses to the park. And, you know, it was one of the things that we found attractive about it, was the group sales business is just non-existent. In all of our other parks, we have cash groups, catered outings, consignment tickets at companies all over the towns, and that doesn't really exist at Raging Waves, so that's part of what we're doing too. We just don't see alcohol at all as a negative. It's rare. I won't say that it's never, because that wouldn't be truthful, but it's very, very rare that you have an issue with anybody that you need to ask to leave the park. And a lot of times, it's because they were drinking before they came in the first place, and not because of what you did. We just won't over-serve. That's just clearly our policy. That's just what we do. And you just have a strict rule about it.
Could you touch on one thing to the comments, and we talked about some of these same issues that are being brought up. We had some real nice conversation. How do you handle security, on-site security?
Well, we hire off-duty police officers, and we hire in-house security at all of our parks as well. Every park in our country, most of the time, has a police officer working at the park, you know, during all operating hours. I'm not sure if that's been the case at Raging Waves for every operating hour, but we always have security. Anytime Raging Waves is open, it will have security in the park, trained security.
Any questions, comments? Mr. Merrick, and then Mr. Cole.
Yeah, so in any of the parks that you have an active liquor license, have you ever had one non-renewed?
No, sir. Never.
Even in Canada?
No, sir. Never.
Okay. Mr. Koch?
So, some of the logistics. Do people have to drink in their designated area, or could they actually buy the drink and take it out to the park?
They can buy the drink and take it. Raging Waves has cabanas throughout the park, and a big part of what we want to do is to set up this service area, which we've got some designs we can even show you what we have in mind, but where we can have servers, trained servers, take the drinks to their cabanas, that they spend good money on these cabanas and they prefer to have upgraded food. They absolutely prefer to have drinks when they spend $200 or $300 for a cabana to rent. But we typically do allow them to walk around with it. Although when people are normally walking around, they're going side to side to side to side. And if they're not going side to side, they're sitting in the chair somewhere. And that's when they might drink it.
So how do you know someone won't hand one to a kid?
Well,
say a high school kid.
Hypothetically, I don't know that they wouldn't do that, other than we're going to have security watching for that type of thing in the park. We've done things before, like wristbanding people.
Mm-hmm.
I've discussed this today with the park as well. That's a little onerous to do, but we have done that and can do that. So ID, wristband, drink. So if you don't have a wristband on, you don't get a drink. That's
and not just one drink for the whole day, it's one drink at a time.
One drink at a time.
And who would it be onerous on to have to get a wristband?
I'm sorry?
Who would it be onerous on to have to get a wristband to possess alcohol? The individual wanting the alcohol.
Not terribly. Let me just restate that. Not terribly. It's just the process. ID, wristband, drink, go.
If someone wants to drink that bad, they're going to get a wristband.
Yeah, right.
So maybe the ordinance would be better served if it required a wristband to allow someone to possess the alcohol.
It offers you a little bit of a control.
Right, and it would make it easier to enforce. If you saw a 17-year-old walking around with a beer without a wristband, you know,
right,
make it easier to spot.
Do we require that in restaurants?
Probably not, no. But,
okay, I'm just curious.
But when someone sits down at a restaurant and they order a beer, usually they're asked for an ID, right? Most of the time you don't order a beer and then walk around the corner and hand it to your buddy when you're... if you're in college, I don't want to talk about that. But if you go to a crusade, right, I just don't see that type of thing happening to the extent that I would see at the water park.
So you're assuming a person eating dinner at a local restaurant wouldn't do that, but an adult who's been ID'd at the water park would? When it's the same person, they're 21 or older, they're getting ID'd.
I think it'd be less prevalent because you'd have that physical identifier on the wrist, right? If you have a 21-year-old brother, right? I'm 18, my brother's 21. You know, hey, go get me a beer. Oh, yeah fine. He gives the 18-year-old brother a beer. He's walking around. He doesn't have the wristband. It's like going to an all-inclusive resort. You go to an all-inclusive resort, you don't have the wristband, you're not going to be there very long. You go to a water park and you're 19, you have a beer, you're not going to be there very long. So I'd prefer to see that. And despite Mr. Kremsky's passionate reading of social media comments, I had concerns about this the minute I saw it. Safety concerns, not just for people in the park, but people when they're leaving the park. I'm a criminal defense lawyer. You know, dollar signs, fights at the park, DUIs. Public safety takes priority over that in my mind, so it's just concerning to me.
Mr. Funkhauser.
You say you allow people to walk around the park. Do you have any areas that they're restricted? Are they allowed to take it into the kiddie pool area or carry it while they're going along through the lazy river, while they're climbing up the, you know, multi-flights up to the rise? Are there restrictions on where they can
have a drink in line while they're waiting in line to go up? Because they cannot have alcohol while they're doing that. Some of our parks, they're not all created equal. Some of them have restricted areas in the park that they don't take the alcohol out of. Most, they can walk around with it.
Because being up at the multiple parks in the Wisconsin Dells, I know that, I guess, there are areas that are 21 and older, where it's, you know, it would be allowed in the walk-up pool bar, but then the kiddie areas, you're not allowed to have any beverages, food, or drinking at all in those areas, so that they're trying to separate and protect those types of areas. So that's why I was wondering what the plans might be for separation or trying to control it in areas.
We currently have not, we are currently looking for the ability for them to walk around and go to their chair and have the drink while they're sitting in their chair and not just have to crowd in a corral area. and just sit there while they, or stand there while they're drinking their drink. Although, like I said, we do have some parks that that is what happens.
Mr. Polisher.
I like the wristband idea. I don't mind them walking around with it. I mean, I think that's a little intrusive. But, I mean, we have our own festivals and stuff that we wristband people for 21. So you can ID them. So I'd feel much better if that was in it. I probably wouldn't be in favor of it if it wasn't.
Mr. Mayor?
So in the scenarios where you do the wristbands, how do you guys approach that? Or does that differ based on water park as well? Like, for instance, to make it less onerous, you know, when they first walk up to get a drink, does whoever's serving whatever drink they're getting give the wristband at that point? Right? So you're not holding up the line or checking in, you know, giving a wristband for somebody that might not want it. Or maybe you have, you know, a kiosk that's set up that they can go to, which is kind of the way we do our tests. What's the typical approach you do in that scenario?
The way it would work is you would order your drink. They would ask to see the ID. Once they cleared the ID, they would get the money, and then they would give them a wristband and put it on them to make sure that, that it's done correctly, and then hand them the drink. We have done this before, so it's doable. None of our parks use wristbands currently, but a park we have in West Palm Beach did for several years when they first got the liquor license, until they determined it wasn't really necessary. So. But we would do that.
Other questions, comments? Mr. Funkhauser?
I just want to say, it's a lot of this is personal preference for me of having areas and places you can go to that are separate from this. We had another entertainment place come up a few years back. I wasn't supportive of it then. I do think that, you know, having places that are alcohol-free are great. Raging Waves is a fantastic place. It's been well kept up. They've done a great job keeping it family-oriented and in part being family run for as long as it has been. That was a great part of it. I love that aspect. So this is one of those that I have a hard time supporting it just due to personal preference on the issue. So I know we have lots of places where we commingle activities, entertainment with, you know, serving of alcohol, but this one is a personal preference for me, for my lack of support for it.
Other questions, comments?
How much community outreach has been out there yet on this? Because I wonder how many people, I mean, it's kind of a, if we're going to take action tonight, I was wondering, because I guess I'm a little surprised I haven't heard more from other people and stuff, and I was wondering if they just don't know.
Ken, I can't answer why people haven't reached out to you. The reason we brought it forward tonight is...
Well, I mean, has it publicly been put out there that...
It's on the agenda. I don't know that we did this more or less than we do any other thing. For example, we have some annexation things. We don't publicize those more or less.
There were articles that were shared, and Mike read all the comments that there was an article that was published, so people were all aware of it. Right? But the question is, yeah, there was comment thread, but did they reach out to us? Is the other aspect, right? So
where was that posted?
What's happening in Yorkville? Okay.
The local gossip.
Sites. Yeah. Yeah, the community sites.
The keyboard cowboy gossip sites. Mr. Pulcher.
I'd like to make a motion to include wristband in the ordinance.
So there's a motion to amend the ordinance to require wristbands to be served alcohol. Is there a second to that? Well, I'm sorry, who was that? Mr. Mayor? Okay, discussion on the amendment then. So this would require them to have wristbands for somebody to receive alcohol, to be served alcohol. Any discussion on the amendment? Okay, so no discussion on the amendment. Again, well, go ahead.
I would just add, rather than to purchase the alcohol, to purchase and or possess it. Because you would have the situation where, you know, both my wife and I are over 21. I send her up to get a beer, right? And she goes up 5 minutes later to get herself something. And if I don't have a wristband, right, I think it would probably make most sense in terms of the wording of it for the purchase and or possession of alcoholic beverages.
Was that your motion to amend?
Yeah, that's what I would.
Okay, I just want to make sure. Was that your second?
Yes.
Okay. Does that help, Mr. Transier?
It does. It's the lawyer in me fighting over the minute details.
For the general discussion, I want to hear, what do you think, Chief? Because you deal with this every summer. I'm a little curious from your side of it.
I think it's a good idea. I don't have any issues with it. We sent out some numbers on our calls for service. A city within a city. You know, if you have a weekend on a Saturday, a Sunday, even a Friday, holidays, you're going to have 7,000 to 9,000 people there. So I have to expect calls for service in a place like that, which we do expect and we do handle. Their security has been top notch. They are, all of them that I know of, are retired law enforcement. We do have a contract with them where we have our officers there off duty working there. So they have an immediate impact for us when we get there. Assisted in criminal cases when we make arrests on certain offenses that occur. Right now, people can go in the parking lot. They can leave the park, go in the parking lot, get food, and drink alcohol. It has nothing to do with inside the park, right? They can do that now, and every park that I know of does that. So they've answered my questions because I had several just like you guys did.
So currently, you can't bring it in, right? People can't?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah,
okay.
They check every bag, at least when I've been there, they've checked every
okay.
bag.
Okay, I'm
no, they do. I mean, unless it's clear, I think they can see through it. I've been there with a bag that wasn't clear, and they pulled stuff out.
One of the questions that we did ask that I did ask them was, when somebody goes back outside, and then they come back in the park, are they screened again? And they are. So it's not like you get a stamp and then you walk through and you're able just to walk straight in. You're screened again through their security measures.
You're screened, your bags are checked, and you're not allowed to bring liquid back into the park. Because we don't know exactly what you're bringing in, you're not allowed. That will continue.
Other questions? So this is the will be the vote on the motion to amend to require wristbands to be served and possess alcohol, correct? Okay. Make sure I'm making my notes correctly here. Do you have something else?
Do we have anything in place where we found that this went bad? That we could do something about it.
Absolutely. I mean, the mayor as liquor control commissioner has broad authority not only to find people at the park if they're you know, having issues, but also property owners, management team. And then ultimately, too, I mean, if there's actual liquor control violations, you have the ability either to revoke or suspend a license or to just not renew it, which we've, you know, exercised, I think, pretty broadly here recently.
Yeah, and that was, to be fair, again, I understand these questions. I absolutely do. It's one of the first questions I had for them. And I made it real clear to them, if this is not policed well, they might lose that license or it might be suspended for a weekend, which we've done with other businesses. You know, we've had to set that message straight.
And that kind of holds their feet to the fire to make sure
absolutely.
That issues don't happen.
Yeah, I'm making this up, but if the first weekend they have all kinds of drunken brawls there, I could say, you're done serving alcohol this year, okay. And there's nothing they can do about it. I'm going to be upset, but.
Question, and this is more procedural big picture on this. I know we can change numbers of licenses, create licenses as a council. While there's an active license, we can't, or can we remove a license from the ordinance?
You can, well, the attorneys.
You can suspend it.
It can be suspended through the liquor commission, but
right, and then there has to be due process for revocation.
So but if it was ever revoked or not in use, that's the only time we could pull that license back, correct? Because we could at that point, if it's not being used, repeal the ordinance or change it at that point.
Oh, sure, you can repeal the ordinance.
But it not while it's in use.
Not,
that's why I want to make sure. Yeah.
So I believe the impact of that is that the license continues through the end of the term that it was issued,
right,
and then it is not renewed.
That's right. No new ones would be issued pursuant.
And we issue them as of May 1st or subsequent if the business starts after May 1st in a given year. So any questions? Good question. Any questions on the motion to amend to require a wristband to be served and possessed? Okay, we'll do a roll call on the motion to amend.
Okay, Funkhauser?
Aye.
Trulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Present.
Merrick?
Yes.
Cornels?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. So now we're back to the main motion with the change that a wristband would be required to be served and to possess alcohol. And keep in mind, one thing they said, and we put in the ordinance, there's no bottles, there's no glass. So, just again, just the little things we're trying to think about here. Any further discussion on the main motion that has now been amended? We do a roll call, please.
Terulis?
Nay.
Transier?
Nay.
Soling?
Nay.
Merrick?
Yes.
Cornels?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
We have.
Yes.
Yep, yeah, motion carries.
Okay, thank you all for that discussion. Appreciate it very much. Okay, next we are. What do we, item three here? Okay, this next item is one, we have a couple here that require a lot of votes. Item three requires 6 votes. It's item 20-24-36, a resolution approving an agreement for land acquisition consulting services with Mathewson Right-Away Company, and this is for the Lake Michigan DuPage Water Project. I'm looking for a motion.
Motion.
And a second.
Second.
Pick, was it Plocher?
Whoever,
I don't care. Okay, Plocher. Okay, anyway, thank you. Seaver, you're on top of it tonight. Thank you.
I'll third it.
Yeah. Okay, Bart, please take this away.
Yeah, we have to acquire a southern water tower site along with various easements to connect the transmission main from the DuPage Water Commission to that water tower, along with another water tower site potentially in the northwest of town. All of these things in order to maintain WIFIA loan eligibility, which is a federal program, require us to follow federal land acquisition procedures. We do not have anybody internal to the city that can do that with federal rules, and so we have to go out basically to hire somebody. Mark Mathewson is our recommendation. He's already actually doing work for the DuPage Water Commission, acquiring their parcels east of us. And so we felt that was a good, recommendation for us to just co-opt that. Mark will handle everything from surveys, appraisals, negotiations, and closing. So it's a true turnkey, program for the city. We anticipate it'll be 9 properties between the water tower sites and the easements. Total cost of $162,000, $250,000 on top of that. Subject to change if routes change or properties change in the future. But that's our recommendation.
Questions or comments? Mr. Funkhauser.
Just to clarify, the contract for the 162 is just the Yorkville parcels. So when we were looking at the contract for the cost share earlier of the $17 million that was acquisitions, this contract includes that plus the, on top of that's going to be an actual cost, which did you just say 250? Or did we have a cost of what we estimate for acquisition for our?
Yeah, $156,250.
So $156,000.
That does not include any of the actual property costs. So whatever those easements or properties cost us are on top of that. and that'll have to be approved by you at some point. Or
other questions or comments? Roll call, please.
Transier.
Aye.
Soling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Yes.
Cornels.
Aye.
Koch.
Aye.
Plocher.
Yes.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Terulis.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. The next agreement, or next item, this requires 7 votes per state statute. Is that what I'm told?
That's correct.
Okay, we have item 2024-37, an ordinance approving a lease agreement for certain real estate in the United City of Yorkville, Kendall County. What is the address of that?
609
North Bridge Street. And this is what we are called to care. Let's get a motion second. I know there'll be some questions and discussion, but at least let's get this on the table.
So moved.
Okay, I heard Transier and Soling, I believe. Okay, so we are called to care. I'll give you the best I can, and we have 3 folks with the organization here who can speak much better about it. Reverend Chapman, is that correct?
Phil.
Phil and Sherry Chapman. They're the Newark Norsemen I referred to earlier. And Phil, weren't you a star basketball player back in the day?
No.
And Sherry was a star volleyball player, actually. Anyway, and then Chad Green, as you all know, probably from the haunted car wash, Paradise Car Wash. So anyway, they're all here. So what they have is they have a group, and they help out. And I'm going to let you step up to the microphone and give more detail. But they have a group. They help out kids who are looking for foster homes, not necessarily, but that they are required to get foster homes, and maybe there's a intermediary is needed because they might get a call on a midnight on a Friday. Hey, we have some kids. We don't have a home for them. Can you help them out? And so what their organization does, they take those kids in. They have an adult there at all times until then the state can find somebody a little more permanent for these kids. We have this facility on North Bridge Street, the old house that was bought and purchased in 17, I think. Is that what I was told? We purchased this in 2017?
Yes.
And it's an old house. We don't know if or when we'll ever use it, but we're not ready to sell it now. The house needs a lot of work. They're willing to put all the work in there. They're willing to house the kids and have an adult there. They've been having great support from the community, so we don't have to maintain it at all. And then the end of the 10 years, the future council and the future organization can, you know, decide if they want to continue or whatever. But I thought it was a win-win for everyone. And please step forward and tell us a little bit about your organization, if you don't mind, please. And just for the record, state your names. You're Sherry, he's Phil, I get it. But just for the record.
I'm Sherry Chapman, and I am the founder and executive director of Call to Care. And we came into existence in 21. We have an office in Plano where we do practical services to families that have taken in foster children, and we offer therapy there. We opened our therapy center for those affected by foster care in August. So that is what we currently do. And this house, as the mayor mentioned, would be kind of an emergency placement for kids who have been removed from their home for abuse or neglect, and they're just not sure what's next. So often, you may have heard in the stories on the news, kids are often left on agency floors, like a room like this. Children would be removed. There's nowhere to go. Our state's in a crisis. We don't have enough foster homes for the amount of kids coming into care, and they would sleep here for 2 days, 2 weeks, who knows, in DCFS offices or private agencies, often hospitals for no medical necessity, sometimes police stations. And so we want to be help to fill that need and be part of the solution. And so they could come there in the middle, until they find out what's next. Often, actually 80%, the department tells us, of kids who come into care the first time end up going to family somewhere, but they have to find that family member. They have to do background checks, make sure that that's okay. And often that in-between time, a lot of poor choices are made that isn't in the best interest of kids out of just there's no other place. So that would be what we would be looking to do.
And you always have an adult there, correct?
Oh my gosh, yes.
And this is certified or approved by the state?
There's a million requirements by the state, you can imagine. Yes, this would be with professionals, several professional staff full-time, and obviously shift workers through the night. Yeah, it's very involved.
Really, a million? Did you actually count?
I don't know. we've already been working with them. So yes, there's lots of checks and balances and all of that for sure.
Okay, questions? Any questions, comments?
I have a comment.
Yes, sir.
Did I mention I'm a lawyer tonight?
Months? I don't think you have.
Oh, okay. Well, in addition to everything else I do,
Esquire.
I'm the attorney for CASA here in Kendall County.
Oh, great.
And I can speak firsthand about the absolute necessity for places like this for kids who need emergency placement after they're removed from their parents, before they're then put into either what would be a temporary foster or a permanent foster location. And so I am all for this. When the mayor proposed it, we spoke about it last week, I'm behind it 100%. So I think
thank
this
you.
Is fantastic what you guys are trying to do for these kids who desperately need it. So
thank
bravo.
Thank you so much.
Other questions or comments? Mr. Plocher?
My three actually came to us as an emergency. There were some issues at some foster homes and allegations. So yeah, we got the call, it was Wednesday at like 3? Like, hey, you want? I mean, we know you're looking to foster and possibly adopt some kids. We have them right now, and that is truly how it works. They call you immediately, and a lot of times there is disruption patterns and whatever, and they need to go somewhere, and there is, like she said, no place for them to go. So I think this is an excellent opportunity for the city and them to partner.
Thank you.
Other questions or comments?
I have one, just more of a procedural type question. Mm-hmm. So, is there like an insurance carrier that you guys would provide, or would this be considered on the city's insurance for the property?
We have our own insurance. I don't know what else you would do, but we have requirements that we would have the full insurance.
Mark?
I just wanted to clarify, the agreement has a $10,000 threshold for repairs. So anything below $10,000, I can approve of. And then anything above $10,000, the city council would have to approve. So that's, you know, the improvement plan for the building, any repairs that occur after that. So you will get basically another chance to review whatever they're proposing to do for the building. The memo says $5,000. That reflects an earlier version of the agreement that we were talking about before we realized that HVAC units, you know, on their own can sometimes be way more than $5,000. So we felt that $10,000 was reasonable. So.
Other questions, comments? Mr. Funkhauser.
So, obviously this facility has, under this building, hasn't been used in a while. Do you have a scope of what you plan to do with this in order to get it to where you guys want to use it? I don't know if you're using it with offices for kind of your operations, but also obviously for the care, but what's your plan?
Yeah, that's a great question. The department actually requires us to have a separate office as a child welfare agency, so we have a separate office space we're renting in Yorkville that will be like our office. But the house does lend those front, there's, I don't know if anyone's been in there, the front, there's two rooms. It kind of looks like it's a porch, but they're actually two separate rooms. So that would, it's very small, 8x8, one of them, I think. I mean, that's a place someone could meet as an office. There's another meeting room where CASA caseworkers, that other front room would be, but all just apart. But that's why the house is great for us. There's a separate entrance there, and those meeting rooms in the front can just be separate without entering into everyone's space. You don't want the kids feeling like it's a parade and everyone's coming through, which is really great. But in terms of, yeah, we do. We've been through it. We've had some board members go through. It's largely a lot of cosmetic, but, you know, siding, roof, we talked about a fence for sure. But, yeah, we do kind of have, we're kind of waiting for this to be official, but we're kind of ready with kind of a rough scope of what we plan to do for sure.
You would be, if we approve this, you're moving on it immediately?
Yeah.
In order to get going?
Yes.
You mentioned a fence. I was going to ask about that for an enclosure.
For sure.
The back garage, that would come down? That was in the memo. Is that on the city? Or would that come
on
us? You
guys? Everything would be on us, yeah.
Okay. And then zoning and use, this is compliant with it, that sort of stuff. So we're good in that. We don't have to change anything.
Okay. Structural wise, I haven't seen it. Is it in pretty decent shape inside?
I assume Pete won't let them live there.
Do you want to speak to that?
Yeah, and Pete's not going to let them live there if it's not structured sound. But yeah, go ahead. Or Christy, I mean, you wouldn't inspect it. Pete wouldn't.
I actually brought my uncle, who's Scott Corwin. Some of you may know. He framed and built homes in the Yorkville for 30 years plus, and he feels it structurally. The garage in the back needs to go, he said. We know that. But the house just needs a lot more cosmetic than. It's going to need some roof stuff and whatever, but the bones are good and strong. He sees no reason why we couldn't safely fix everything up and put children in there.
And again, it needs to pass our inspections too, so it's not just we're going to let them go build a wooden shack and live there, have kids live there.
There's also, we've also had the fire marshals walk through there, both of them. They feel it's very, very doable. They said any help we need from them, they'd be more than willing to help us out as far as giving us advice and where we need to proceed. But they thought it was a great location and a great, it's a great opportunity for us and for the community as well.
Other questions, comments? Mr. Funkhauser?
The other thing I want to say is, we're doing this as a zero lease. I don't want the public to think that this is some type of a sweetheart deal of a, you know, that we're doing for the use of this building. We're criticized for others for low rents on community buildings, but as a not-for-profit business that provides a service that is truly needed, you know, we've heard, you know, from a couple of the aldermen, first-hand stories of the benefits. Personally, I can attest to sitting in a PD for hours while waiting for placement. So I can truly understand that. So I just want to make sure that the public is aware that even though this is a $0 lease for 10 years, it's a benefit to the community. It's actually a service the community is providing that we wouldn't otherwise be able to provide. So thank you for bringing this to it and actually seeking it out with us.
Other questions, comments? Attorney, you have anything? Not this one, this one.
I don't know. Do I need to go through the lease a little bit more?
Okay, I'm looking for a vote, please. Roll call. Cut you off right there.
Soling?
Yes.
Merrick?
Yes.
Cornels?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Terulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you all very much. Appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And Bart will probably be in contact with somebody with you. Excellent. Okay. Next, where am I at? Item 5. Okay, I'm looking for 2024-38, a resolution authorizing participation in Progressive Energy Group, PEG, and authorizing the finance director to approve a contract with the lowest cost electricity provider by rate classification for a period up to 48 months. Do we get a motion second, then we'll discuss this?
So moved.
Second.
Cornels, Soling. Bart, do you?
Sure. This gives staff the authority to sign a up to 48-month contract for electric suppliers. So we have electric accounts, both for municipal accounts and then also street lighting. Progressive Energy Group, who is here tonight, represented by Arnie. You know, has done this before for us in the past. Basically, they'll go out to market and bid our accounts, get the lowest electric supply, and then we'll have to make a decision on the staff end as to what the term should be. So we do forecast, based on information coming from Progressive, that electric supply prices are expected to rise over time, so we probably will try to hedge on that by going with a longer term and locking in hopefully a lower rate long term. But that is our risk, obviously, too, that prices could drop at some point or another. But this just gives us the authority to do it, and Rob decided it on short notice, which will be required as part of the bidding process.
Questions, comments? Roll call, please.
Merrick?
Yes.
Cornels?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Terulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Arnie, thank you. Appreciate it. How's Chris doing?
He's got infection to a medical procedure. So
is he? He's had a rough few weeks here.
Yeah, he said he's just turned the barrel.
Yeah. I'll give him a call here in a little bit. So thank you. Thanks for coming. You can stick around, but we're done. So if you want to go home and just relax, feel free.
I will.
read this motion.
Oh, I'm told I have to read something different here. Okay. So item six, 2024-39, 2024 bond, municipal advisor and bond council engagement letters. I'm looking for a motion to approve the engagement letters for Spear Financial Inc., the municipal advisor, for an estimated fee of $83,868 for the public works slash parks facility bonds and water bonds issued together, $62.735 million in principal, and Saul Ewing LLP, the bond council, with a fixed fee of $87,500 for the public works slash parks facility bonds and the water bonds issued together, and authorize the mayor to execute.
So moved.
Second.
Transier Cornelius. Okay. Sound travels slow, so I heard Cornelius first. So.
By me.
Bart, anything you want to add? Rob, anything you want to add?
These are the same financial advisors and bond councils we've used in our last few issuances, and that's our recommendation going forward.
Discussion? Roll call.
Cornelius.
Aye.
Koch.
Aye.
Plocher.
Yes.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Trulis.
Aye.
Transier.
Aye.
Soling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Now, the next three items are related to this. I will do each one separately. Number 2024-40, item 7, looking for a motion to approve the issuance of water bonds or general obligation alternate revenue bonds for the United States of Yorkville in aggregate principal amount not to exceed $25 million pursuant to Section 15 of the Local Government Debt Reform Act as amended and the Municipal Code of the State of Illinois as amended for the purpose of paying the cost of enhancing the city's water delivery system.
So moved.
Cornelius, Terrellis, did I hear you?
Second.
Oh, Cole. I heard somebody over there.
No.
I'm pretending I did. Okay. This is $25 million. This is the first chunk, Rob. Is that what it is?
Yeah, it just sets the maximum amount that we could issue the bond for at $25 million. And it also establishes what revenues we'll be pledging against it, which are water revenues in place of eating tax, which is the exact same revenue pledge we made last summer for the 2023 A bond.
And this is just our portion, because the next is for the WIFIA. Well, it's still ours, but it's through WIFIA. This would be a bond we issue ourselves, correct?
Correct, and this would count towards our 20% match towards the WIFIA loan.
Oh, sweet. Got to have a match. Okay, questions, comments? Roll call, please.
Koch.
Aye.
Plocher.
Yes.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Trulis.
Aye.
Transier.
Yes.
Soling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Yes.
Cornelius.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Next, item 2024-41. Looking for a motion to approve the borrowing by the United States of Yorkville of a Water Infrastructure Finance Innovation Act loan, that's WIFIA, in an aggregate principal amount not to exceed $160 million from the U.S. EPA pursuant to Section 15 of the Local Government Debt Reform Act of Illinois and the Municipal Code of the State of Illinois as amended for the purpose of paying costs of enhancing the city's water delivery system.
Motion.
Second.
Terrellis, and who'd I hear? I heard somebody down here. Rusty and Seaver, you're on the ball tonight. Thank you very much. Okay, any discussion on this? This is the federal loan, WIFIA, which gives us better terms, up to 35 years after substantial completion. So these could be being paid 40, 45 years from now, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Roll call, please.
Plocher.
Yes.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Terrellis.
Aye.
Transier.
Aye.
Soling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Yes.
Cornelius.
Aye.
Koch.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you all. Next, we have an ordinance authorizing the issuance of general obligation alternate revenue bonds for the United City of Yorkville, Kendall County, in aggregate principal amount not to exceed $40 million. Pursuant to Section 15 of the Local Government Debt Reform Act and the Municipal Code of State of Illinois for the purpose of paying the cost of acquisition of one or more parcels of real property in the construction of new public works facility on any portion thereof.
So moved.
Transier. Cornelius. Discussion. Roll call, please.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Terrellis.
Aye.
Transier.
Aye.
Soling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Yes.
Cornelius.
Aye.
Koch.
Aye.
Clocher?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Okay. Oh, we have one more item. Okay. I'm looking for a motion to approve the authorization of the acquisition of certain easements for the construction of water mains.
So moved.
Second.
Merrick, I believe it was, and Soling. And these are for the four easements for the Eldermain project?
Yep, for the Green Door related water main loop. It's two property owners and two easements each, one permanent, one construction, a temporary easement for each.
Questions? Roll call.
Trulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Yes.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Cornels?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Oh, thank you. And I'm not done. For now, I am, though. Public Works. Is there anything from Public Works? I see
no report.
Darn it. Economic Development Committee. Okay, the first item.
Motion to table to May 28th, 2024 City Council meeting.
Thank you.
East Village of Westbury.
Your second. Second by Koch, was it? Okay. Discussion. Roll call, please.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Cornels?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Trulis?
Aye.
Motion carries.
All right. Well, that was quicker than the conversations I had over the weekend, so thank you very much. Public safety. Anything?
Nothing to vote on, but we, at our meeting, had an opportunity to observe and participate in the Virtra.
You did go to that.
We did,
nice.
Yes. And
tell me what you think. Is it pretty slick?
It's pretty impressive, right. And not only, I mean, because we are the untrained, those of us who are up there, but after seeing how it's intended to be used by our law enforcement community, it's going to be an incredible asset.
So, that's awesome.
And the fact that we have it, and we're going to have other departments in the county, the sheriff, Montgomery, Oswego, Plano, whoever, they should all be thanking us tremendously for the opportunity to be able to use this machine. So, Chief, excellent work on securing the grant, and I think it's going to be fantastic for all your staff. So,
that grant was what? Was $250,000 or something like that?
Yeah, $440,000.
It's a chunk of money. Yeah, thank you. And the fact that we can work with other agencies within the county, it's great when you can work together.
I don't think they realize how lucky they are to have an opportunity to use it. So
that's, you know what?
Let us remind them at every opportunity.
Yeah, yeah.
Sounds like a church sermon. Let us remind them.
The reality of that, I can't even imagine even that situation in real life, let alone just in a smart scenario.
Excellent. Anything else?
No, thank you.
Okay. We went admin committee.
No report.
All right. All rolling along. Park board. Tim, you got a couple events coming up.
Mr. Mayor, I'll take a little bit of a break. So the summer special event season kicks off next Thursday, May 23rd, with the Margaritas and Mayo event in downtown Yorkville from 5 to 9 p.m. We have bands, activities, all types of activities going on throughout the evening. Then Monday, May 27th, is the American Legion Memorial Day ceremony at 11:30 a.m. at Town Square. Starting on June 1st, if everyone looked in the city administrator's report, we have the WGN radio showcase featuring the city of Yorkville. That'll go throughout the month of June with radio ads on WGN. Then on June 27th, we'll actually have a WGN radio takeover where various people have been selected to go on the radio and do interviews talking about the city of Yorkville. More details will come with that soon. The following Thursday, June 6th, is a school out bash at Town Square from 5 to 9 p.m. And then the following Thursday, June 13th, is the city school golf outing at Blackberry Oaks Golf Course.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
And we have these new beach party shirts.
We have various new shirts for purchase, and we're encouraging at the school out bash for everyone to wear a Hawaiian shirt. We're going to try to take pictures and do counts and make it an annual thing to get more and more people each year.
And maybe one of these shirts will end up in a beach in Spain or something in a few weeks. You never know. Thank you, Tim. Planning and Zoning Commission. Okay. You pointing to me or?
Nope.
Oh, okay, so I'm going to get started. We have to do three motions, I'm told, correct? Three separate motions. So let me get the first one going, and then Christy, I'll let you talk, because I wouldn't mind a break, which is hard to believe, but it is true. Okay, I'm looking for a motion and second for 2024-05, PZC and EDC 2024-19, Cornell Solar Farm, item A, an ordinance annexing certain territory generally located immediately north of Cornelius Road, east of Beecher Road, and west of Illinois State Route 47, Cornelius Road Solar LLC Solar Farm. So, is there a motion?
And a second.
Excellent. Christy.
Okay.
Thank you.
Briefly, this is three unincorporated parcels along Cornelius Road, in total about 94 acres. Their solar farm will be on 35 of those acres, and the portion that they're requesting a special use is only for the solar farm. So they're annexing, rezoning to ag, and then they're doing the special use for the solar farm.
Questions? Comments? Mr. Cole.
This is the project that's also given us some dollars toward some road improvements, right? There.
They will be required to donate funds toward road improvements
along Other questions, comments? Roll call, please.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Cornelius?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Very nice. It's item A. Item B. Looking for a motion to approve the ordinance with special use for a solar farm with freestanding solar energy systems, Cornelius Road Solar.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
I guess I didn't say I'm looking for a second, so that was Merrick. Okay, Christy, anything further, or is this just the next step?
It's the next step.
Okay, questions, comments on this? Roll call, please.
Merrick?
Yes.
Cornelius?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser? Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. And finally, on this item, I don't mean finally for the whole meeting, but I'm looking for a motion to approve the ordinance for the rezoning to the A1 Agricultural Zoning District of certain territory generally located immediately north of Cornelius Road, east of Beecher Road, and west Illinois State Route 47, Cornelius Road Solar LLC Solar Farm. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Cornelius, Plocher, discussion. Tell me when you're ready. Sorry, I'm going fast. Good. Roll call.
Cornelius?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. Oh my God. We still have some other items. Okay, item number two. And Dan, thank you for your presence. Item 2024-09, PZC, and EDC 2432, Kendall County Petition 2404, a 1.5 mile review, 1520 Cannonball Trail. Oh, I'm supposed to read this. To the proposed site plan for approval for the construction of a YMCA recreational facility, the city does not have any objections. That's the motion. And the second, please. Who was that? Mayor, who seconded it? Anyone?
Second.
Oh, I think I heard Cornelius. Okay. Christy, any comments on this?
This is just a mile and a half review. We are just looking at the proposed site plan for YMCA. It's going to be on 25 acres on two parcels. At full build, that would be about 150,000 square feet with a pool and daycare facility.
And this is not in the city limits.
Correct.
That's why we're required to approve this. In case any of you didn't know, it's not in the city limits. Okay, questions, comments? Roll call, please.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Present.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Cornelius?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Second, we have another mile and a half review. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Follow the rules here. Motion to authorize staff to notify Kedlin County that the city council does not have any objections to the proposed plat of vacation. Oh, this is for 7709 and 7731 Bentgrass Circle, lots 223 and 224 of Whitetail Ridge.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, discussion. Roll call, please.
Clocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Trulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Yes.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Cornels?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. And, I'm supposed to read this again. Thank you. Okay, I'm looking for a motion to authorize staff regarding 7789 Route 47. To notify Kendall County that the city council does not have any objections. I prefer that be phrased, has no objections to the proposed map amendment from B3 Highway. Thank you, John Moore Limited. Who was that? Plocher?
Motion.
Okay, roll call, please. Oh, sorry, no discussion. Roll call, please.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Trulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Yes.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Cornels?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay. So, item 5 is a follow-up to our last meeting. The ordinance, well, I'll get it going and have a brief discussion. I'm looking for 2024-13, an ordinance approving amendment to the Yorkville Unified Development Ordinance, UDO, regarding park and recreation school site dedication land cash. Mr. Merrick, did I hear you make that motion?
Yeah, so moved.
And Mr. Koch?
Second.
Thank you. Christy, Bart, this restores the land cash to what it was before we did the ODO. We had the public hearing last time, so this just kind of gets us back to square one. It was just something that we missed. So thank you if you support it, and if you don't, shame on you. Anyway, discussion. Roll call, please.
Trulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Cornels?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you all very much. City Council.
No report.
Thank you. Clerk?
No.
Community liaison reports? Okay, staff report?
No reports.
We have no building updates or water updates more than we already discussed. And no executive session. Additional business, sorry. We don't have that. Citizen comments? Anyone have any comments? No executive session. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Okay. Second, all in favor?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Thank you all. Not quite 3 minutes.